Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be here this morning with you as we move forward in the Word of God. And as always, it is a great word. And as we move over to turn it over to our mother in residence. Good morning. Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this morning?
I'm blessed. I am truly blessed. And it is a great day.
Amen.
Hey. Brightly, and God is good.
Yes, he is. And that's what I'm talking about. You got to have enthusiasm. You know, we have enthusiasm for sports, and we have enthusiasm for the conscience, enthusiasm for everything. But, you know, you have people go to church and they're like, oh, yeah, nice. Mm-hmm. Oh, come on. We got to give God the same kind of praise. You know, I want to go to a dead church. I want to go to a church that's alive in the spirit and gets excited about God. Hallelujah. I'm saying, Lord God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you for another day of your praise,
amen,
of your grace, of your mercy. You know, I was just in my praise and worship time with God and listening to C.C. Winans and got all filled up this morning. You know, I was seeing of the goodness of God. Whew. Your goodness is running after me. We got to have that in our spirit, that the goodness of the Lord is running after us. You know, we got to surrender everything because his goodness is what sustains us. His goodness is what brings us through. As many know, one of our loving members passed on, and today is her funeral. And they asked for a song for me to sing today. And I'm like, oh, Lord, this song is so not in my key. You know, I'm used to singing background, God. And God said, just do it. So we have to learn how to just do it, because it's not about us. It's about him. And he will take over. He will be the one to allow his angels to sing through you. All you have to do is let go and let God. So that's what I'm doing. I'm letting go and letting God, because I know, whew, that I surrender everything to him today. I surrender everything to him every day, because I personally wouldn't be able to get up in the morning had it not been for God. So thank God, everyone, where you are, just take a minute to just say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Ooh, thank you, Lord, because it is your peace,
Lord,
that surrounds me. Thank you, Lord, because somebody died in their sin and did not have a chance to tell God thank you. Somebody had a moment where they did not have a chance to tell God thank you. We got to let peace abound today. You know, there are those that are afraid that, you know, in Florida it's going to go up and we're going to have another January 6th and all of these things. And I am praying today. You know, as I was going over the lesson, the word that kept coming out was peace to you. Peace to you.
Amen.
Amen. To you. And the word that he gave me to post was, let peace abound today. I'm like, what about, what else, God? Let peace abound today. That's it. That's all you need. Let peace abound today. In the name of Jesus, to abound today. Let peace. Because so
Amen.
Many times we want to get all upset, Mother, with what's going on. Well, I don't like how they're treating this person. I don't like this. I'm going to go set it off. No, I'm going to let peace abound. Because I know that whatever's going on is all God's plan. It's all God's plan. And we got to remember, nothing happens unless God allows it. And that is what we should do. Let peace abound today. As Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. Peace to you is what Jesus said. And that's our word for today. Peace to you, family. Peace in your heart. Peace in your soul. Peace in your mind. Peace in your spirit. Peace is what we pray today in Jesus' name. Peace abound today in the name of Jesus. We need peace. We need peace. And one of my people that I listen to and follow, you know, the scripture today was, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from failing. 116th Psalm, verse 8. You know, and we need to keep those words of God in our heart. And today we're doing it a little different. You know, I have a scripture that I want to read today, and it's my scripture for today besides the one I just read you. And this one comes from the Bible. It's a Bible version. It's called You version, and it says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5 and 8. And that is a word to keep in your heart today. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And we need to remember that as we go through this day. Because in our word today, you'll understand when we get to our New Testament scripture. Mother Valerie, I am turning it over to you this morning. And Mother Valerie will be coming out of 2 Kings chapter 12 through chapter 14. And then I will be back for our New Testament word today. And my word for this morning is coming out of the 73rd Psalm 20, Proverbs chapter 18, verses 18 through 19, and John chapter 20. And our scripture for this morning is coming out of John chapter 20. And it's a word that Jesus leaves with his disciples. You know, my peace to you. You know, it's just God speaking to all of us that he leaves us peace. You know, peace in the midst of your storms. Never forget that God is the one that's driving your vehicle. If you're driving, God is the one that's holding you up. God is the one that is with you through your up, through your downs, through your good, through your bad. He's always there. Heavenly Father God, we turn this word up, asking you, God, to increase as we decrease. Lord God, speak through us what you want to be said. Lord God, give us strength. Give us understanding. Give us your grace, God. Give us your peace. Give us the joy and the love that only can come from you, God. So, Father, as we lift up this word, we thank you for this day that you have made. We are rejoicing and celebrating because you gave us another day with breath in our body. something you didn't have to do, Lord, but you did. So, Father God, as Mother Valerie goes forth, I ask you to give her strength, to give her what to say and what not to say, to speak through her, God, that someone who is listening will say, what must I do to be saved? What must I do not to make the mistakes of the kings and princes of old, the mighty men of old, that I will walk in light and not in darkness. Father God, guide us and lead us in your light as we study to show ourselves approved, as we speak your words, not our words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Over to you, Mother. I'll be back.
Amen. Good morning, saints of God. And I just want to say a word to Willie's, to the family, that God is with you, and he will wipe away all the tears from your eyes. And this is to Eunice's family, her sisters, her husband, and her friends. She will be missed. God will wipe away the tears from your eyes. I'm reading 2 Kings chapter 12. It said, in the seventh year of Jehu, Joash became king, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Ziba of Bathsheba. Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days in which Jehoiada the priest instructed him. But the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. And Joash said to the priest, all the money of the dedicated gifts that are brought into the house of the Lord, each man's census money, each man's assessment money, and all the money that a man purposed in his heart to bring into the house of the Lord, let the priests take it themselves, each from his contingency, and let them repair the damage of the temple wherever any devastation is found. Okay, that's just like when we give according to, you know, your tithes or 10%. But when you give, you purpose in your heart to bring into the house of the Lord what you set aside to give. Now it was so by the 23rd year of King Joash that the priest had not repaired the damage of the temple. But King Joash called Jehoiada, the priest, and the other priests and said to them, why have you not repaired the damage of the temple? Now, therefore, do not take more money from your contingency, but deliver it for repairing the damage of the temple. Priests agreed that they would neither receive more money from the people nor repair the damage of the temple. Then Jehoiada, the priest, took a chest, bored a hole in its lid, and set it beside the altar on the right side as one comes into the house of the Lord. And the priest who kept the door put there all the money brought into the house of the Lord. So it was, whenever they saw that there was much money in the chest, king, scribe, and high priest came up, put it in bags, and counted the money that was found in the house of the Lord. Then they gave the money which had been apportioned into the hands of those who did the work, who had the oversight of the house of the Lord. They paid it out to the carpenters, builders, who worked on the house of the Lord, and to the masons and stone cutters, and for buying timber, hewn stone, to repair the damage of the house of the Lord, and for all that was paid out to repair the temple. However, there were not made for the house of the Lord basins of silver, trimmers, bowls, trumpets, any articles of gold or silver from the money brought into the house of the Lord. But they gave them to the workmen, and they repaired the house of the Lord with it. Moreover, they did not require an account from the men into whose hand they delivered the money to be paid to workmen, for they dealt faithfully. The money from the trespass offering, money from the sin offering, was not brought into the house of the Lord. It belonged to the priest. Hazael, king of Syria, went up, fought against God, and took it. Then Hazael set his face to go up to Jerusalem. Joel and Jehoash, king of Judah, took all the cycle things that his father, Jehoshaphat, and Joram, and Asa, the king of Judah, had dedicated in his own cycle things and all the gold found in the treasures of the house of the Lord and in the king's house and sent them to Hazor, king of Syria. Then he went away from Jerusalem. Now the rest of the acts of Joash, all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And his servant arose in form of conspiracy, killed Joash in the house of the Malo, which goes down to Syria. For Jochim, the son of Shimeah, and Jobab, the son of Shoma, his servant, struck him, so he died. They buried him with his father in the city of David. Then Amaz, his son, reigned in his place. 23rd year of Joash, the son of Amaz, king of Judah, Jehovah, the son of Jehu, became king over Israel and Samaria and reigned 17 years. He did evil in sight of the Lord and followed the sin of Jehoban, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. He did not depart from them. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel, and he delivered them into the hand of Hazor, king of Syria, into the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazor, in all their days. So Jehoshaphat pleaded with the Lord. The Lord listened to him, for he saw the oppression of Israel because of the kings of Syria oppressed them. Then the Lord gave Israel a deliverer, so that they escaped from under the hands of the Syrians, and the children of Israel dwelt in their tents as before. Nevertheless, they did not depart from the sins of the house of Jehovah-Bam, who had made Israel sin, but walked in them, and the wooden images also remained in Samaria. For he left of the army of Jehoshaphat only 50 horsemen, 10 chariots, 10,000 foot soldiers, for the king of Samaria had destroyed them, made them like the dust at thrashing. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat and all that he did and his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Israel? So Jehoshaphat rested with his fathers, buried him in Samaria. Then Joash, his son, reigned in his place. In the 37th year of Joash, king of Judah, Jehoash, the son of Jehoshaphat, became king over Israel and Samaria and reigned 16 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin, walked in them. Now the rest of the acts of Joash, all that he did and his might, with which he fought against Amaz, king of Judah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Israel? So Joash rests with his fathers. Then Jeroboam sat on his throne. Joash was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel. Elijah had become sick with all the illness of which he would die. Then Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him, wept over his face, and said, "Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen." Elijah said to him, "Take a bow and some arrows." So he took himself a bow and some arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, "Put your hand on the bow." He put his hand on it, and Elijah put his hands on the king's hand. And he said, "Open the east window." And he opened it. Then Elijah said, "Shoot." And he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Samaria. So you must strike the Syrians at Ephraim till you have destroyed them." Then he said, "Take the arrows." So he took them, said to the king of Israel, "Strike the ground." So he struck three times and stopped. The man of God was angry with him and said, "You should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only three times." Then Elijah died. They buried him, and the raiding bands from Moab invaded the land in the spring of the year. For it was as they were burying a man that suddenly they spied a band of raiders put the man in the tomb of Elijah. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elijah, he revived, stood on his feet. My Lord, a dead man just touched the bone. Woo-wee. of Elijah, and he came back alive, stood on his feet. Hazael, king of Syria, oppressed Israel all the days of Jehoiakim, but the Lord was gracious to them, had compassion on them, regarded them, because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, would not yet destroy them or cast them from his presence. Now Ahaz, king of Syria, died. Then Ben-Hadad, his son, reigned in his place. And Jehoahaz, the son of Joahaz, recaptured from the hand of Ben-Hadad. The son of Ahaz, the cities which he had taken out of the hand of Joahaz, his father, by war. Three times Joahaz defeated him and recaptured the cities of Israel. Okay, now going into 14. In the second year of Joahaz, the son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, Amaz, the son of Joash, king of Judah, became king. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Yet not like his father David, he did everything as his father Joash had done. However, the high places were not taken away, and the people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. Now it happened as soon as the kingdom was established in his hand that he executed his servants who had murdered his father, the king. Children of the murderers he did not execute according to what is written in the book of the law of Moses, in which the Lord commanded, saying, fathers shall not be put to death for the children, nor shall children be put to death for their fathers. But a person shall be put to death for his own sin. A person shall be put to death for his own sin. He killed 10,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt and took Seba by war and called his name Jochiel to this day. Then Amaz sent messengers to Joash, the son of Jehoiakim, king, the son of Jehu, the king of Israel, saying, come, let us face one another in battle. And Joash, king of Israel, sent to Amaz, king of Judah, saying, the threshold that was in Lebanon, sent to Cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, give your daughter to my son as wife. And a wild beast that was in Lebanon passed by, trampled the threshold. You have indeed defeated Edom, and your heart has lifted you up. Glory in that. Stay at home. For why should you meddle with trouble so that you fall, you and Judah with you? But Amaz would not heed. Therefore, Joash, king of Israel, went out. So he and Amaz, king of Judah, faced one another at Beth Shemesh, which belonged to Judah. And Judah was defeated by Israel. Every man fled to his tent. Then Joash, king of Israel, captured Amaz, king of Judah, the son of Joash, the son of Amaz, at Beth Shemesh, went to Jerusalem, broke down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the court's corner gate, 400 cubits. He took all the gold and silver, all the articles that were found in the house of the Lord, and in the treasures of the king's house, hostages returned to Samaria. Now the rest of the acts of Joash, which he did, his might, how he fought with Amaz, king of Judah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Israel? So Joash rested with his father, was buried in Samaria with the king of Israel. Then Jehoram, his son, reigned in his place. Amaz, the son of Joash, king of Judah, lived 15 years after the death of Joash, the son of Jehoram, king of Israel. Now the rest of the acts of Amaz, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Judah? And they form a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem. He fled to Lachish, but they sent after him to Lachish and killed him there. Then they brought him on horses, and he was buried at Jerusalem with his father, city of David. And all the people of Judah took Azazel, who was 16 years old, made him king instead of his father, Amaz. He built Eglath and restored it to Judah after the king rested with his fathers. In the 15th year of Amaz, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, became king in Samaria, reigned 41 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from all the sins of Jehoram, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. Stored the territory of Israel from the entrance of Hamath to the sea of Arba, according to the word of the Lord, God of Israel, which he has spoken through his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet who was from God. For the Lord saw that the affliction of Israel was very bitter, and whether bound or free, there was no helper for Israel. And the Lord did not say that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jehovah, the son of Joash. Now the rest of the acts of Jehovah and all that he did, his might, how he made war, how he recaptured for Israel from Damascus and Hamath what had belonged to Judah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the King of Israel? So Jehoram rested with his fathers, the king of Israel. Then Zechariah, his son, reigned in his place. Life lessons. 2 Kings 14:27. He saved them by the hand of Jehoram. The sovereign of the Lord used both good and evil men to fulfill his purpose. What he has said, he will do. But he must take care not to misrepresent or misconstrue his words. God used both good and evil men to fulfill his purpose. And that's okay, life lesson.
Amen.
14:10. Your heart has lifted you up. Oh, boy. Pride can urge us to do foolish things. God tells us pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. God used a wicked king to admonish Amaz, but he refused to listen. A lot of times God will send you word and tell you what you're doing, but if you refuse to listen, well, you refuse to listen. And it said God uses... He uses a good man and he uses an evil man. 2 Kings 13:19. You should have struck 5 or 6 times, then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. When Joash was instructed to strike the ground, it meant that he was to shoot the arrows into the ground. Joash should have shot all the arrows he had taken up, signifying a complete trust in God for a total victory. Unfortunately, when Joash held the arrows back, it showed he didn't have a wholehearted trust in God. Same is true for us. We must use all our resources in God's service, not holding anything back. Everything we are and have belongs to God. Everything that we are and have belongs to God. Life lesson, 2 Kings 13:14. Elijah had become sick with the illness of which he would die. Elijah performed twice as many miracles as Elijah and raised the boy from the dead. Yet he died of an illness, lack of faith, hardly. God endorsed his ministry by performing one final miracle through him after he died, after his death. A man was dead, and on his bones they threw this man. I wonder why did they throw a dead man on top of a dead man. I wonder about that, but that's what they did.
That's
and the dead
back in those.
Man, go ahead, Pastor.
Back in those days, you remember when we read yesterday when we were in John, and they were talking about Jesus' death and his burial and how he was buried in a new tomb that had never been used by anyone else. That was because they would put 13, 14 people in the same tomb. And in the tomb that Jesus was placed in, nobody had ever been in it. It was brand spanking new, which was not the norm of that time.
Wow.
Find it.
That's amazing.
And actually, that might be in today's work. Yeah, it's in today's word. I'm sorry. It was, you know, because it talked about Nicodemus and Ananias, both of them who were disciples of Christ. You know, he went and said, you know, can I have his body? You know, and they buried him in a freshly made tomb because he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
And
you know, I was thinking about the title, My Peace I Leave With You. It's not as like the world gives peace. When you have the peace of God, it surpasses all your understanding. You can be going through things, and things can be happening to you, but if you turn to God at that particular moment, you'll get through it, and you will feel his peace, because the peace that he gives is not like the world. He said, peace, peace, peace. My peace I leave with you. Peace, peace, peace. So God is just good. And he's with you even when you're going through things and when you're in trouble. If you turn to God, he'll help. All you got to do is call out to the Lord. If you are a believer, God will answer. If you listen, God is answering our prayers. All we have to do is listen, believe, be still, be silent, and hear God. Sometimes you can hear God through the voice of a child, and you know that that's God speaking to you. So we do have to listen. God is with us.
Amen.
And he will wipe away every tear from your eyes. God is just good all the time. Even when you're going through stuff, God goes through it with you. You're not by yourself. So I'm going to turn this back over to the hands of Pastor. In Jesus' name.
Mom, you were talking about the death of one of the things that it said in the Word yesterday. And it says, understand that when Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus treated Jesus with tenderness and respect in his burial, it was to fulfill the prophecy of the 16th Psalm. You will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. God had promised that the Messiah would not suffer decay in the grave. And in faithfulness to his promise, God did not allow Jesus to be dishonored in his burial. That's why Jesus was buried in a tomb, and not just any tomb. Most burial chambers in Israel at the time had space for 8 to 13 people, but the tomb that they put Jesus in was brand new. It had just been cut out, had never been a dead body there, which means that it had never been defiled by death. So the body of the Messiah never inhabited a place with decay.
Amen.
And so when we talked about the body touching Elisha and coming back to life, it was a miracle of God, but also it was showing where he had been placed in the grave with others. And when that new body touched the body of this prophet, God used that body for another miracle.
My Lord.
You know, we hear, you know, and I know it's, I call it Elisha, but many call it Elisha. And instead of Elijah, Elisha. He was a major prophet, and he was tough as nails. He did not play. You know, what they, because they bowed head, and what happened? Them little tyrants, lost their life and got attacked. Don't mess with God's anointed. Come on now. You know, let's say do his prophets no harm, because God don't play that. So let's get into our word this morning, family. And we thank you, Mother Valerie, for that mighty word of Kings. You know, through everything that God did for Israel, they would always come up with a king who was just a sinful mess, who would go backwards. Because, again, Mother, history unknown is history repeated. You got to tell what happened in the past so you don't have the same situation later. You know, so many times families hide secrets, you know, those family secrets, and then they come out later on and they're devastating to the person that they come to. So we have to very much tell the truth. Shame that old wicked devil and watch God work. 73rd Psalm, verses 10 through 20. Therefore, as people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them, and they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I had said I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a minute. They are utterly consumed with terrors as a dream when one awakes. Oh, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. And as we go into this life, listen, it says, surely I have cleansed my heart in vain. 73rd Psalm, verse 13. Everyone goes through times when they wonder if obeying the Lord is really worth it, especially when they see people who don't serve God having the success and prosperity they want. However, our obedience to God is never in vain. Asaph, the psalmist, reminds us that we are reaping a harvest in eternity. Always remember, we reap more than we sow and later than we sow. You know, we got to sow. And yes, there are times where you may be up in the world and brought low. And you're like, okay, God, I do this, that, and the other. Remember what Jesus said? I don't know you. Well, I saved souls. I did this. I did that. I don't know you. We got to understand. You got to learn how to humble yourself before the Lord. We all do. None of us are bigger or higher than God. He is of the deepest depths, the highest height, and we don't even come close. We've got to trust him in everything. We got to have peace. But whatever God's decisions are, we're like, but Lord, I prayed that you would send me the money for this bill. And God said, I sent you many, many dollars, but you should have paid that bill a long time ago. But you didn't use it for what it was for. And God will take everything you have when you don't do what he tells you to do. And then you wonder why you're going through, because you were disobedient. We got to be obedient to God. And when we get into our 18th Proverbs, it says in 18 through 19, casting lot causes contentions to cease and keeps the mighty apart. And think about this. When Jesus died, what did the soldiers do? They cast lots for his garments because they didn't want to tear them up. They didn't want to tear them up because they were nice. You know, they looked at his shirt, and they were like, well, wait a minute. We're not going to tear this one up. You know, as we go back into John 19, it says, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to each soldier, a part, and also the tunic. Now, the tunic was without seam, woven from top to one piece, in one piece. They said, therefore, among themselves, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it. Whose it shall be that the scriptures might be fulfilled, which says, they divided my garments amongst themselves and my clothing, they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. they cast lots. And what does it say? Casting lots causes contentions to cease and keeps the mighty apart. So what if someone, one of the soldiers said, I'll take this. And the other's like, well, I wanted that. And the one said, oh, I wanted that. And another says, I wanted that. And then what do you have? Contention. But when they said, we'll cast lots for it, whoever gets the lot is the one that gets the garment. It kept down any confusion. They were sharing his clothes. And it says, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. The contentions are like the bars of a castle. And we think about it. We can get our feelings hurt so easily. And when our feelings get hurt, we're like, you know what? I am done. I'm putting a pin in it. I don't want nothing to do with them. They don't have to look at me. They don't have to talk to me. They know they lied on me. They know they did this, that, and the other. And I don't want anything else to do with them. And we get our attitude, but we don't want to speak to that person. We see them in a grocery store and go to another aisle. We see them in church and sit on the other side of the church. We go through all of that foolishness, and that is not a God. Because, well, you know what? He took mama's picture, and it was supposed to go to me. He took the silverware, and that was supposed to go to my son, and he took this. And that, you know, and so we go all out and angry. Well, they took my Sunday to preach. That was my Sunday. And I always preach on that Sunday. And they going to take my Sunday and preach. I ain't got nothing. And I know she asked for it. I know he asked for it because he knows that that's my Sunday. Going to take my song and sing it. You know he knows that's my song. Why are you trying to sing it? He don't even sing it right. Or she don't even sing it right. That's my song. Nothing in this world is ours. Everything belongs to God. Obviously, your preaching was in vain because you were preaching in pride and not in God's word. Because nothing belongs to us. Thing belongs to us. I like that song, so I sing that song. But that song doesn't belong to me because it didn't belong to me when I first sang it. It belonged to the person who wrote it. Just like these words that we read every day, they don't belong to us. They belong to all of us. It's not mine to hoard my Bible and say, I am not going to read it to anybody because it's all mine, Mother. It's all mine. It's
Amen.
All about. And God gave it to us to share. God gave it to us to spread his word. And we can't walk in offense. So many places, so many. Think about the families that have been destroyed because of offense. Churches have been demolished. Pastors out of the churches they created because of offense. We got people that don't speak to each other. Siblings that haven't spoken to each other in 50 years because of offense. Well, she owed me money, and she never paid me back. I don't want nothing to do with her. I don't care if she dies. I don't care if he's dead, huh? I don't care if my mama died because, you know, my mama, she never treated me like she treated the other kids, and I don't want nothing to do with her. I don't care. That's not godly. Says it, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a castle. You are locked in. And I always say, hatred and all those things, unforgiveness is what it all boils down to. When you take contention and offense and all these things, and you say, I'm not going to, you are walking in debt, the debt of the sin of unforgiveness. And we can't do that. God is saying, I want you to have peace. You can't have peace when you're mad and angry at anyone. You can't have peace when you're trying to create confusion. You can't have peace if you're falling for the okey-doke of being mad That's not of God. Unforgiveness and contention and offense are not of God. We got to walk in love. We got to walk in peace. We got to know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. But the greatest thing that Jesus gave us when he gave us the greatest commandment, which is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, strength, but with all our heart, our soul, and our mind, is what Jesus said. And then he said the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And when we love each other, we can walk in offense, our contention. John chapter 20. Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb, so they both ran together and up to the other tomb. The other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. Excuse me, and we know the other disciple was John. And he stooping down, looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there. Yet he did not go in. Then Simon came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloth laying there and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not laying with the linen cloth, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed, for as yet they had not known the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own home. But Mary stood outside by the tomb, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. When they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me." If you have carried him away, tell me. Powerful statement. And she said to him, "Where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things to her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Praise the Lord. Peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into the side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands. reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Hallelujah. We will have peace. You've got peace. What did Jesus tell us all through this word today? Peace to you. Peace to you. Because we are believers. We have faith that Jesus is the Son of God, that he rose from the dead. He was placed in a brand new tomb. He rose from there. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of the Father. Peace to you, family. John 20:21, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. The Father sent his Son into the world to make it possible for sinful men and women to become holy. And the Son now sends his followers into the world to make it possible for others to hear about his work. We got to spread the word. Invite someone to your church. Invite someone to revival. Invite someone into your home for Bible study. Invite someone for Sunday school. Invite someone to church. We got work to do. This wicked world is trying to eat up every soul it can. But we stand in the gap, that shield of protection, because we stand behind the cross of Jesus. Thomas, from death, doubt to faith. And it says the name Thomas in the Hebrew equivalent of the Greek name Didymus, which means twin. Thomas reminds us of the similarities between doubt and faith. Both originate from the same place, a confrontation with the unknown. Doubt concedes defeat, while faith claims the victory. When Jesus appeared to Thomas, hope became reality. The resurrection renewed his confidence in God and motivated him to spend the rest of his life proclaiming the certainty of the risen Christ. Tradition holds that Thomas spread the gospel to India. Do you understand why there are Christian Indians, Christians that are in the country of, and help dispel others' disbelief about the resurrection? If uncertainties have smothered your confidence in the Lord, remember his power so evident in the empty tomb. The crucifixion was not the end of the story, and neither is the trial you face. Choose the path of faith and declare that triumph lies just ahead. Allow his resurrection to strengthen your hope, renew your certainty, and be your greatest victory. I am victorious because I know who my Father is. I know who my best friend is. I know that I am a friend of God. I know that I am a child of the Most High. I know my Savior lives. Hallelujah. We got to have that in our spirit. Do you know Jesus? He's a friend of mine. Hallelujah. And he's my bestie. And all I can say is he is always there with me. Can you say hallelujah this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. John 20:31. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. If the word of God did not have God's stamp of approval, it would have fallen into obscurity long ago. But it still rings with the power of God to accomplish its purpose, to lead people to life in Christ. And the church said amen this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. You got those out there on one that's trying to say that, oh, it's all fake. It's not real. The devil is a lie, and there's no truth in him. This book that we call Basic Instruction Before Leaving Earth is our guide to God. And all we have to do is study and show ourselves approved and believe that every word is true. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And I have a word this morning, first from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, and then from our book of prayer. And a word from Sister Carolyn this morning is, once you stop adding up all your problems, you'll be able to start counting all your blessings. Again, peace to you. Because when you count your blessings, you have peace. When you stop thinking about your problems, you have peace. When you start praying and pushing, praying until something happens, you have peace. When you believe that God does and God will watch over you, you have peace. When you know that, yes, I'm at my rock bottom, but I know that I am standing on solid ground because I'm at the rock and I'm at the bottom, and all I can do is look up. And when that hand comes down from God to pull you up, all you do is grab hold and hold on tight. Because the reason for success, the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 26, NASB. God, I come to you with all my dreams and goals laid out before you. As I follow you, your goodness finds me. What a privilege to be walking in the light of your favor. You know how easily I rely on my own abilities to get things done. When my strength is depleted and I have nothing else to give, when there is still much to do and many needs left unmet, I fall into you. I was never meant to be the one to do it all. You alone are able to meet every need. It is not my job. Whether I fail or succeed, I am confident that you are big enough to cover it all. My confidence is not found in my own ability. Help me when I edge toward perfectionism. In you, where everyone and everything finds their satisfaction. Thank you, Lord. And this is a word that God has given for this morning. Do you have more confidence in your abilities or in God? We got to have peace. Peace I leave with you this morning. Peace to you, family. Keep trusting God and know that he's got you and you're coming in and you're going out. As Sister Carolyn said again, once you stop adding up all your problems, you'll be able to start counting all your blessings. Have a terrific Tuesday. Please keep the Essex family in your prayers as they utilize their loved one today. Thank you all, family. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. Keep trusting God and watch him work in your life. Mother, thank you so much for stepping in this morning. God bless you all. I have to get ready to go to the funeral this morning. So I thank you for listening in. May you be blessed. May you have peace. Don't worry about what's going on in the world. Give it to God and keep moving forward. Have a great day. Love you, Mother. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. It's a wrap.